All right, it's good to see all of you here again this morning as we continue to look into 1 Samuel and the history of ancient Israel, and particularly the story that is surrounding Saul and David, and particularly today, David and Jonathan. There is such a lot going on in our world right now. I don't know how you're coping with it, but I'm finding that it seems to be one thing after another. If it's not a COVID restriction or cancellation or reissue or the situation of Afghanistan, there's just a lot going on. And this worship service this morning was just a wonderful tonic for my soul, and I hope it was for yours too. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 20. Verses 28 through 42. While you're turning to look at that, I'm also going to let you know ahead of time, we're going to let this lesson be the last in this series for a little while. It's a good stopping point where David and Jonathan take leave of one another, and we will pick it back up probably the first of next year. My intent is starting next Sunday, we'll begin a series on the Apostles' Creed, going back to the fundamentals of our faith and these phrase by phrase, that as evangelical believers we believe are true at face value. They don't need to be reinterpreted or retranslated. We're going to work our way through the Apostles' Creed. I think it's a great foundation stone. All of that I think will be familiar to you, but it's good to be reminded of these truths that the Christian church has affirmed for centuries, millennia. So that's coming up, but today we're dealing with chapter 20 in 1 Samuel and what's going on with David and Jonathan. I've just entitled this Saying Goodbye. Before I read it, I just want to make some introductory comments about it. There are times in your life and in mine where we have to say goodbye to a situation or to a person. And it's difficult. It's not something I have met anybody who really enjoys doing. Even for those of us who are introverts, we like saying hello a lot more than we like saying goodbye. It's either to a person or to a place or even a situation or a mental state that we're in our lives where we are moving on to something else and we're having to say goodbye to what has been there for a good while. Now, if you and I don't really care about the person, or we're not really invested in the situation, it's not very painful, is it? We can say, well, goodbye, and sometimes good riddance, glad to get out of that and move on. But when you do care about the individual, when you are really attached to the place or to the situation that you found yourself in, and it comes time to say goodbye to that individual or the situation, it's very painful. It hurts because we love. We have been attached. We've been benefited by that situation, and we have been a benefit to others in it. It's true to some degree of every relationship. And today we're going to see this in the relationship between David and Jonathan, the son of King Saul. And remember, David has been anointed as the next king, but he's a long way from assuming that kingship because of what's happening in Saul's life and also in David's. They are saying goodbye. And this is one of the greatest friendships, I think, described in all of Scripture, even some of those that Paul talks about in his letters. The relationship between David and Jonathan, it's become well-known, and it's a very famous passage, almost as much as Goliath or, to David's shame, Bathsheba. What I want to make sure we all understand it from the beginning is this is a relationship between two men who bonded together under difficult circumstances, and there is nothing unseemly about their relationship with each other. This has been introduced just in our generation, that somehow this was other than what it appears on face value. And I must assure you, you can look at this text, you can read it as much as you want, you are not going to find that supported by what's happening here. These are two healthy men, emotionally, psychologically, physically. and they have bonded together under adversity, and now they're having to say goodbye, and it is painful. Now, I don't always understand how women work. I will admit that to you. But I will tell you, for men, when you have bonded with someone through a difficult situation, whether it was a harrowing experience or some shared pain, it is painful to leave. It is an emotional thing to say goodbye to somebody who has meant so much to you. And as our minds today particularly are focused on Afghanistan and our military and all that's going on, it's those relationships that are established by soldiers in the field that we're talking about here with David and Jonathan. So with all of that sort of as an introduction, let's come to the Lord in prayer before we read this passage together. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that we can talk to you as a loving Father, that you never turn us away, you are never too busy, that you understand, and that you are awesomely powerful beyond our imagination. We ask now that whatever is going on in our minds and hearts, you'll help us to direct them to this scripture, to your truth that is here, and that it will be a source of comfort and guidance for us as we try to live our lives in a way that honors you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 20, beginning at verse 28. Jonathan answered Saul, his father, "David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. He said, 'Let me go, for our clan holds a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. So now, if I have found favor in your eyes, let me get away and see my brothers.' For this reason, he has not come to the king's table." Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established. Therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die." Then Jonathan answered Saul, his father, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" But Saul hurled his spear at Jonathan to strike him. So Jonathan knew that his father was determined to put David to death. And Jonathan rose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had disgraced him. In the morning, Jonathan went out into the field to the appointment with David, and with him a little boy. And he said to his boy, "Run and find the arrows that I shoot." As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the boy came to the place of the arrow that Jonathan had shot, Jonathan called after the boy and said, "Is not the arrow beyond you?" And Jonathan called after the boy, "Hurry, be quick, do not stay." So Jonathan's boy gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the boy knew nothing. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his weapons to his boy and said to him, "Go and carry them to the city." And as soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone heap and fell on his face to the ground and bowed three times. And they kissed one another and wept with one another, David weeping the more. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.'" And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. This is the word of God, and it is an amazing historical event that's been recorded for you and me to learn from. This passage, I think, shows very clearly the right way to say goodbye. That implies, obviously, there's a wrong way, and there is. But I think this is a great example, maybe one of the best in all of Scripture, to describe how we were say goodbye to a person, or to a situation. Before I go any further, let me state that this is really about a healthy relationship and saying goodbye to that. In unhealthy relationships, in ones that are marred by violence, the ones that are marred by betrayal or lack of trust, that's a different ballgame. That's a different situation. Some of these principles would still apply, but not all. We're talking here about a healthy situation between two individuals, and there is a proper way to say goodbye, as painful as that is. First of all, neither person in the relationship is at fault. Neither wants to say goodbye. It's obvious in the way Jonathan goes to great extremes to verify that David must flee. He can't believe his father is serious about killing this man, his best friend. He can't believe his father tried to kill him, but he has put himself in dangerous way just to verify the fact, yes, we're going to have to say goodbye to each other. David, on his hand, has been a part of this plan, this espionage, this secret that he and Jonathan have worked out with the code of the young boy running for the arrows. And if Jonathan says one thing, David is okay, he's safe. If he says another thing, David's in trouble, he's got to go. The boy, as we were told in the passage, knows nothing about it, but it's all part of an elaborate system to verify this relationship cannot physically continue. You've got to flee. So that's the first thing, that in saying goodbye to someone, we need to make sure that neither is at fault. And if someone feels that they are, that needs to be said and got out into the open. There needs to be forgiveness. There needs to be a reconciliation. And then the parting can take place. The second step that's going on here is it's not a snap decision. And this is involved in what I was just saying. This is not just some sort of, hey, man, I got to go. I'll see you later. And disappears. It is a deliberate, long thought out process before they decide they must leave. Must it really be? Yes, it must. And the unhealthy way that I have observed, and I think you have observed, is the third thing is a temptation just to slip away. It's going to be painful. It's going to be emotional. I just don't want to do that. I'll write a note later on, but I'm just going to slip away. And it leaves the other person wondering, did I do something wrong? Or what has happened? Why has this relationship come? It just leaves everything hanging. But to say goodbye in an appropriate way, face to face, to go through the pain of separation, but also the explanation, you're not at fault, I'm not at fault, this is just something that has taken place and we have to follow it. And then you grieve for that broken relationship, having to say goodbye. For those who have moved, you've lived in one place for a long time, you understand this when you really loved where you were. I know in the pastorate, as Carolyn and I have gone from place to place, we have deeply loved each of our congregations, and it has been a painful process to tell them goodbye and move on to something else. On a one-to-one level, it's the same way. There's a time to cry, to truly cry, manly tears, womanly tears of grief because you cannot continue physically that relationship. And in that grief, we affirm the other person, as David and Jonathan do here. Not only did neither do anything wrong, but you are going to be the king. I am the king's son now, but that's not on my radar. I know God has ordained otherwise. You're going to be the one in charge. I will take care of you and your offspring forever. These are vows that are made. That last sentence, we'll get to that again as we look at this whole situation. They know the Lord's hand is at work. It's not just a human decision. They realize that God is at work in causing them to have to say goodbye to each other. And that really is in verse 42. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, because we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my offspring and your offspring forever.' And he rose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. They have just promised each other to take care of their families. And Jonathan, I'm pretty sure, though we're not told clearly, has a premonition of his own death, his own demise. He hopes that's not the case. He hopes that David can come into the kingship and Jonathan can remain loyal to him and no threat at all in carrying on the dynasty of Saul. This is the last time Jonathan and David meet, except for one, until Jonathan is killed in battle with his father and other brothers against the Philistines. And that other time comes in chapter 23, verse 16. Jonathan leaves his father's camp of army and goes to David's camp, and he says goodbye and once again requires David to look after his family. Those that survive, David does. That's much further on in our story. We'll meet that in 2022. But here they're saying goodbye, the last time next to one, and they've done it the right way. You and I, when we take time to think about it, are always in the process of saying goodbye, if not to a person or to a place, to a situation, to a thought pattern, to an attitude, an internal discussion that's going on, that we have to say goodbye to one way of life the way we have perceived it and to embrace another. It could be to someone. It could be to a situation, a relationship. But it can also be just internally. As God works in us to mature us to be more like Christ, we have to say goodbye to something that we held dearly in our life and let go of it. It was not wrong. It was perfect at the time, but now we're moving on, and we have to embrace that. A physical move, yes. A spiritual move, probably, as we mature in Jesus Christ. Our lifestyle, our health, our personal relationships, they're not what they used to be. Years have their effect. Outside circumstances have their effect. It's just part of life that we need to be able to say goodbye to this and hello to this. And there's a right way to say goodbye. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing that you've done wrong or I've done wrong. It's just the way life is moving. And it's under God's supervision. As we're yielding ourselves to Him and we're trying to honor Him in the way we live, this is part of the growth process. Now, trying to find a particular verse in the New Testament that verifies this is difficult. Some may come to your mind. But what I realized is this is exactly what was going on with Jesus and his disciples, those last chapters of the Gospel of John. Chapters 13 through 17, Jesus is preparing his disciples for him to say goodbye, and they don't want to hear it. No, Lord, certainly not. No, you won't be put to death. No, you're going to be the Messiah. They do not get it. As often as he revealed himself to them as the Son of God and showed his power, as we heard in the message this morning, the disciples just couldn't get it until he came back to life. And the gift of the Holy Spirit came, and then those little things that Jesus had told them went off like time bombs. Oh, yeah, he said, yeah, that's right. This is what he was talking about. He was preparing them for saying goodbye, and they were going to have to let go of him. And he was having to let go of them. And that high priestly prayer Jesus makes, it's incredible how he exposes his own feelings and emotions to his heavenly Father, and we get to hear what it was about. It was recorded for us. The other example that comes to mind immediately is the Apostle Paul, as we read about his work in the book of Acts. And how he would go into villages and towns, and sometimes it was a one-night stand, sometimes it was for years. But every time he left, there was a great sense of sadness and of grieving for those who had come to know Christ. This man was the instrument that God used to bring them into eternal life, forgiveness of sins, joy and hope, and now he had to leave them. And I'm sure you remember that scene on the beach where he's leaving one of those cities and telling them, I'm not going to see your face again. The Spirit has revealed to me that I must go to Jerusalem. And things are going to happen that are beyond my control and I won't be back. And they cry, they grieve as they feel this parting, physically, not spiritually. Because they're always, in a sense, his spiritual children, for he introduced them to Christ. All of that is to go to the next step, that when we're saying goodbye, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are also going to be saying hello. As we move into a new relationship, a new situation in life, a new understanding of ourselves or of God. The good news is that we never have to say goodbye to Jesus. If he is your best friend, and I hope he is, you're never going to have to say goodbye to him. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what happens in this world around us, it is always, hello, Jesus, I need some help. Hello, Jesus, I love you. Hello, Jesus, I'm a little confused. Hello, Jesus, I'm frightened. He's there. We never have to say goodbye to him, and he never says goodbye to you and me. His Spirit is always with us. And what a wonderful gift that is. So he is not bound by a physical presence in this city or this city or this country, but the Spirit of Christ is throughout the world, always, everywhere, day and night. Incredible. The power of God in his creation. And you know these passages. I'm just going to read them to remind you. Psalm 139, the whole psalm, but we don't have time for that. Particularly verses 7 through 12. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. The Spirit of God is always with us. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the Great Commission. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. We never have to say goodbye to Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17. Jesus speaking, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. With Jesus Christ, we're not only saying goodbye to things, to people, to situations. We're constantly saying, hello, something new. Okay, I'm a little scared, but I'm with you. And he takes care of us as a loving father takes care of his children. So we're led into new friendships, new people that we can be with. People that aren't biological family members become closer than family because they love Jesus too. And we are bound together by his Holy Spirit. New life situations, new physical locations, most of all, new life forever in Jesus Christ. We could go on in many ways. Goodbye to the old life when we first come to know Christ. I put that aside. Hello, new life. Christ is my Savior and Lord. And then that continual walk until the day we meet him of growing and maturing, leaving some things behind, embracing new ones, making new friends, having to leave some others behind. There are several things that came to my mind. I've really wrestled on what to do to illustrate this by reading a hymn or hearing a hymn, and so many things came to mind. This was an emotional experience for me because I actually gave this many, many years ago as Carol and I were leaving a church. And there was a song then by Michael W. Smith called Friends. And I'm going to try to see if it'll pick up on the microphone. If it doesn't, I've got a couple of others that we'll go to as well. So hold on just a minute.
Strong.
Lord, 3,000 years ago, these two men had to say goodbye to each other because of the ways in which you are working in their lives and the circumstances around them. We understand what they felt because we're human too. And in our lives, we have had to say goodbye to people who were dear to us, friends, family. We've had to say goodbye to old patterns of thinking, comfortable ways of living, as we seek to be good followers of you. Thank you, Father, even for the pain and the grief that comes in saying goodbye, because we have you. And we know that you are a good Father, that you will provide, and that you have given us a family far, far larger than biological parents or siblings or children. You've given us other Christians who know you and love you and call you Father too. So Lord, help us as we go through life in these transitions to honestly own up to them and to what they involve, and to always turn to you knowing that that relationship can never be weakened, but is only strengthened as we go from year to year. Forgive us, Lord, when we doubt you. Forgive us when we're scared, when we don't trust you as we should. And in strengthen our hope and our faith and our love. For you are a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.